Lord. I'm telling you, my friends, you don't believe me? Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, all who came before me. Uh-oh, this is Jesus. Oh, gee, what? What? Wait a minute. Jesus, what did he say? Wait. All who came before. Wait a minute, Jesus, hold up. All that came before, you mean every preacher, every seer, every sayer, everybody that ever came before you was born? Aristotle, Plato, Democritus, Socrates, all of the teases? All of them? Every word they ever said, every teaching they ever gave? Brother, what you talking about? He said, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. Wait a minute. Who you think you are, man, calling them thieves and robbers? But the sheep did not hear them. Now, this is a beautiful verse because in this verse, Jesus gives a clear declaration that anybody that ever claims history past, history present, history future, that ascribes to being one salvation for someone is a liar and not to be listened to in any form or any manner. Jesus said, every religion before I was born on the planet, before Judaism ever came, every religion after I was born, even in our lifetime in the thousands and 2000s, and if the world goes on a million years after and there's a human brain procreating their species, I am the one, I am the only one that allows you to come to God. If there is no Bible, if they kill all of my prophets, they're all going to hell unless somebody whispers, sweet Jesus. Either he is telling the truth or he's a lie. My friends, now, you don't believe it? Go to Acts chapter 5. Let's start with verse 36. I love this verse. I looked at this. I said, ooh, I didn't know that was there. Acts chapter 5, verse 36. Now, we're going to see the man of God writing under the inspiration of the word of God, verses 36 through 39. And this is a great indication of what Jesus' word says. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 men joined up with him, and he was slain, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. And then he says, and after this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of the census, and drew away some people after him. And he too perished. And all those who followed him were scattered. Look at verse 38. And so in the present case, the writer writes, I say to you, stay away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or action should be of men, if this plan or action should be of men, it will be overthrown. In other words, he's saying, if this whole Christianity thing is done by some man and some man contriving some religious deed or some religious act, all that mess by God is going to be trampled anyhow. Then he concludes in verse 39, but if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, or else you may even be found fighting against God. Now, let me put some clarification on this. The gospel that I'm preaching is the same one that he preached 2,000 years ago. It will never be overthrown. And the T.D. Jakes and the Creflo Dollars and the Reverend Ikes and the pimpology and the voodooism will continuously come and disappear just like these cats did. But the true gospel will always be here. So the writer said, man, please, nothing's going to happen when you have the truth. You just better make darn sure you are following the Jesus of the Bible. All religious sects and orders and belief systems and movements and programs and business ventures related to Christ's name here are to be forsaken for Jesus Christ, who is spoken of in the Holy Scriptures. Now, this is absolute. That's how you can discover who the true Jesus is. Let's look at verse 9. He says, I'm the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Here we read another emphatic statement. Now, this angers a lot of people and forces these people to deal with Jesus alone. In other words, if I'm really the shepherd and I'm coming to the church and the doorkeeper is Pastor John and Pastor Sean, the under shepherds, and they open the door and invite me in through the Word of God, and the Word of God that they teach is convicting, and that's why, look, I want to tell you something, and I'm going to tell you something. If Sean is preaching a lie, I'm going to surely pick it up if he's preaching. If I'm preaching a lie, he's going to surely pick it up if I'm preaching. And if he don't confront me while I'm preaching, he's going to confront me after I preach it. And what is beautiful about a church where you got more than one under shepherd, if the Holy Spirit is in that church, you will never, ever see those two pastors at each other's throats, because the two pastors' ministry is always going hand in hand. And God knows me and Sean are too busy men. I don't even call him during the week. He's too busy. It's beautiful about a church where you got more than one under shepherd, if the Holy Spirit is in that church, you will never, ever see those two pastors at each other's throats. God knows me and Sean are too busy men. I don't even call him during the week. He's too busy and I'm too busy. We don't have to collateral, you know, well, let's talk about what we're going to do. Now, wait a minute. Let me show you how the lie comes to fruit and how it comes to fruit. I pastored the Living by the Word Bible Church, didn't I? Say amen. And when the coup d'etat took place, Charlton was the pastor of the Living by the Word Bible Church, right? Yeah, Charlton and Joshua Jameson and Eugene Taylor was the three pastors of the Living by the Word Bible Church, which also ripped off my radio ministry. Now Charlton is no longer the senior teacher at the Living by the Word Bible Church. He didn't split off and got him another church in Culver City, and Craig Hawkins, the white apologist, the one who ripped off finally my radio ministry from the stupid brothers that thought that they could do radio, is now not only the senior teacher of the Living by the Word Bible Church, but the helmsmaker of the Living by the Word radio ministry. And you just go to their website and you see them asking for $8,000 to stay on the radio. Now, you know when Pastor John was on radio, he ain't never advertised for no money, because God is going to pay for the radio ministry through the one that he gave the radio ministry to. Never gave it to Charlton Davis in the first place. So the coup d'etat blew up. And then what the Living by the Word Bible Church does, from what I understand, is they had an agreement that Charlton Davis wasn't even to speak about why he left the church under a threat of a lawsuit. What's that all about? See, and come to find out, you was dealing with pimps. And when you go with a pimp, that's what a pimp will lead you to. None of them was Christians and saved. So by God breaking me off from it, he did us all a favor to get us from it. You see what I mean? That's the way God does it. He's going to break you off, and then he's going to show you in time, I'm going to show you what they are. I'm going to show you what they are. My preaching gets bolder. I'm still preaching the same thing he told me to preach, and they splitting up, starting all over again, and I went to Charlton's little website, and he's still talking that fuddy-duddy message. Well, I don't want to hurt anybody, and we're just here for happiness and peace and sound stuff. But you know what happened? His mind could not intellectually deal with Craig Hawkins because he didn't have a theological mind. That's why I told him, you need to study theology with me in my garage for 3 years. You need to be trained. You're an ignoramus. You don't know what you're saying. You're stupid. We're going to get the white boy to help us. He took it from you because he saw how stupid you were, you ignorant slave. Read through it. Happens all the time when your ego gets so big and so proud. That's why when God gives you something small, you praise him for it. I thank God for the Anselm Bible Fellowship. I got the most powerful church in town. Powerful church. Why? Because in your spirit, you allow the truth to be manifested to you. And what this is doing for your souls will eternally benefit you from heaven. And when you go to them big mega churches, they ain't getting nothing to help them. They're all being led into a burning hell, and they won't know it until the fires have been lit. Oh, let me keep moving Let me keep moving. Verse 10 is a self-evident verse. It says, the thief, wait a minute, I didn't deal enough with, I am the door, and if anyone comes through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. See, the doorkeeper opens the gate for the shepherd. Now, the shepherd is at the door. So that means whoever comes into the sheepfold for safety. And remember now, the doorkeeper is just the senior pastor or the under shepherd that God has, but standing right at the door of the sheep. And that's the way the sheep enter into this enclosement, to protect the animals from foxes and wolves and anything else that would come and get them. Jesus is right at the door saying, I'm there to protect them. And the gatekeeper is the one that's saying, I told you, master. Look at it. See what I mean? It's a beautiful illustration. That's why I'm telling you people, and you got to know this, don't follow a man that has not been called as a doorkeeper, because he is not in it for the safety of your souls. He could never be in it for that. He is not even concerned about your souls. He don't care about your souls. He wants your money. Christianity has become a business. Man, all I got to do is say the words of Jesus. Which Jesus is it? That's what you must discover. Now we can move on down to verse 10. The thief comes only. Jesus knew why they came. The thief comes only to steal from you, to kill your spirit, and to destroy what work the true gatekeeper was trying to build up in you. See, the people that didn't follow me when I rejected that ministry, I remember, I think it was that man right there, the day when I got up and left and went home, he was one of the very few people, maybe a couple others, that got up and left that place and followed me to my house and said, what does this mean? And I told him, you shall see. Because you see, a real gatekeeper know that when there's been some pollution coming in there. Now you got to, I guess a lot of you got to stick around and try to figure out. I don't have to figure out. I know who a true shepherd is. Somebody come in here and lie on Sean and something like that. I just look at Sean and he say, John. I said, oh, man, please, don't even say nothing to me. Go home, man. I'm going home too. And you're going to be spinning out. You're going to be spinning out. Because the true shepherd would tell you what they are. Because the true shepherd is not even afraid of you. A true shepherd knows that you can't even do nothing to him. All you can do is raise an accusation. Oh, he has sinned. He has sinned. The true shepherd with tears in his eyes would say, yes, I have. And you have too, you dirty scoundrel. But I won't even ask you to reveal yours. But a true shepherd is not afraid of being exposed. But a false shepherd will do everything he can to keep his money coming in. That's why Jesus said the thief comes only. And that's in the infinitive mode in the Greek. He said he ain't coming to try to pacify you. He ain't coming to try to make you feel good here and bad there. He says only. Jesus says he only has one motive. I love the Lord. And the gatekeepers ought to be listening to what the Savior said. Because the gatekeepers are the ones that know how to seek out what the motive of any other pimping preacher is. Ask him, what's your motive, man? To kill, steal, and to destroy. And then he says, I came. See, he changes the whole sequence. I came. And this is his disclosure. That they might have life and have it more abundantly. See, Jesus is saying, I know what they came for. Now, he wants us to know what they came for. He's already told his senior under-shepherds what they've come for. See, Trent, he's already told me, brother, what to tell you. Now, you're on your own. Follow them if you will. That's why when people say, you know, I'm going to Ken Almas Church, man. I'm tired of this. I need to have me a rock, bop, jamming time. Y'all ain't even got no praise team. I need to be dancing and jumping over there. You know what? He going to dance and jump you right out of your pocketbook and then try to intimidate you when the basket comes. What you should do is go for your dance and jump. If you're a Christian and want to dance and jump, go there and dance and jump. It ain't nothing sinful about that. At least tell the truth. Go there for the dance and jump. But when the preaching starts, get up and leave. Oh, no, man, because you an apostate. I'm just here for the choir. Sing me. Oh, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Yeah, go to hear Blake's choir. There's no one greater in this city than Charles Blake's choir. And them homos are going to be moving. And you're going to be doing the jungle dance with them from your pew. They said, man, they're going to entertain your behind off. You woo. But when the preacher said, get up and leave. Because you know it's apostasy. Man, I was just here for the bump and grind. That's it. You want to hear the word of God? Come to end some. In conclusion, verse 11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. You know what? I want you to answer this question. You think a pimp going to die for you? You think a pimp going to suffer anything for you? You think a pimp going, what? You know something happened? You know, it blessed my heart yesterday because I didn't know how the boy felt. I really didn't. But Mario asked his older brother to come by and get all the rest of his stuff that he left there. And they came by, and I just thought that they'd grab the 5 bags of stuff and leave. Bob, it was interesting because his brother and Mario started talking with me about, well, how do you deal with the woman and how do you deal with that? And after about 30 minutes of me hoping that they would leave so I can get back to my study, it turned into a counseling session because he's out on his own now. And his brother was telling him, obviously, you need to talk to that man. Because I've seen some stuff in you, little brother, that I've never seen before. And they came back for other counseling. And after they left, it was like the Holy Spirit said, now do you see what you suffered for? You suffered for that moment. That's why Jesus says it in this way. Thief don't come to give you that. But I'm the good shepherd. See, I'm not the good shepherd. I'm the under shepherd. I'm the gatekeeper. And in the same way, when a gatekeeper has in a relationship with people, Laverne, the gatekeeper's looking after your soul. The gatekeeper's watching over you. Now, this verse only means this. It provides for us a striking example of our Savior's love for us. He is the one shepherd as opposed to all the other evil shepherds that have fleeced the flock of God. Jesus is saying, I ain't gonna fleece you. Now, you got to beware when your under shepherd, even me, begins to fleece your behind. Also, the idea of the good stands out when he says that I'm the good shepherd. In the Greek, it means I'm the noble one. Jesus is saying there's no one else more noble than me. I'm the noble shepherd that you're to turn to. The feat that Jesus accomplished on Calvary qualifies his rightful place of authority in and over the church yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the noble one that you're to look to. What we have to do is we have to direct the church to him. And it takes a little while. That's why I preached to you this long about who he is. As opposed to the hireling, because there's a lot of people guarding the sheepfold that are just hirelings. He has his self-interest, and he strives to displace the sheep. Christ sacrifices himself for the body, who is the sheep. And Jesus just comes out in this verse and says it. They're coming to mess you up. I'm coming to give you life and give it to you abundant. So his expectations are the same for us today. We can know what a true shepherd is, under shepherd, as they sacrifice their lives. And then you're to become sacrificial in your way of living as Christians. That proves you to be a Christian.